Welcome to the Mission Critical Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Hebert, creator of the Mission Critical Coaching System, where we take a unique, holistically based approach to your personal growth. We examine all aspects of your life and leadership, engage your heart and your mind to unlock your full potential so you can be, do, and have it all. Coming up on today's episode, we are going to take a look at how and why you need to fix your mindset. And I'm going to share a personal story of a life-changing experience that kept me stuck for years and what I did to break free. So let's dive in. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I am Justin Hebert, and this is the Mission Critical Leadership Podcast. Now, as I was thinking about today's episode, right, life just has a way of putting things in our life as we are thinking about them, right? You start to think of a new green car, and all of a sudden you see green cars everywhere on the road, right? It was that sort of moment to me that I was processing through a recent failure that I had. I got an email from somebody else about a failure that they had. I had a blog article pop up that I wrote a while ago that was talking about failure come to my mind. And then just before we went on air, I had to talk to my daughter who was dealing with a failure. So failure front and center in my life today. Let's talk about it. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show in the intro, one of the biggest failures I think that I ever had actually happened in the fifth grade. Now, maybe you're watching this, you're listening to this, and you're like, Justin, it was fifth grade, how is that a big failure? Let me tell you, at the time, it was monumental, not because the failure itself was huge, but because of the impact that it had on me. The length of time that I let this failure dictate who I was and how I saw myself. It wasn't just a temporary setback. It was a permanent obstacle for a long, long time in my life. So let's talk about it. So fifth grade, end of the fifth grade year, middle of nowhere, Kansas, right? We have to put on a play, a program. It's kind of our exposure, the end of our first year exposure to music, right? You have to pick a band instrument and be in band for a year. You have to learn that little recorder thing. And at the end of the year, you put on a play. Now, we get the script. I was excited about it. And I wanted the top spot, right? There's my Enneagram 3, I want to win moment coming out. I'd seen lots of cartoons. I watched them every day after school. I thought I had this acting thing figured out. We got the script. We get to start reading through it. And I go home every day. And religiously, every day after school, I would spend time studying and rehearsing this script. Mom, read these lines. Dad, read these lines. Let me try this. And I invested hours in my life preparing for the audition. You probably know where this is going, right? Fifth grade Justin didn't have a clue. So we go into the audition. I feel like I nailed this thing. I am, that top spot is mine. I'm going to be the lead actor. Everybody's going to recognize this great work that I've done. I can't wait to be celebrated, right? All of these Enneagram 3 thoughts start running through my head. People are going to line up and want fifth grade Justin's autograph. A few weeks go by. The cast roster comes out. Walk over to the bulletin board, start hunting for my name. Huh, I didn't get the lead part. That's okay. One of the lead supports. No, right, and I just begin to scroll my way down this list. Now, here was the thing. It was a rule, because this was part of our grade and part of our exposure to arts and culture and all of these things, music, acting, right? Because this was our exposure in fifth grade, everybody had to have a part. So they, in some plays, created extra parts so that everybody could get on stage because that was the requirement. And so I start scrolling down this list. And then here's what I remember about this story. It's about this group of orphans that end up getting adopted at the end of the story. I honestly don't remember much more about that. Couldn't tell you about the plot, any of the lead characters. Can't tell you how to Google it and find out what play it is so I can try again. Some play about orphans that get adopted. And because we had to add some extra supporting characters that everybody got a part, we had to have extra parents at the end to adopt. And so I was scrolling through this list, and way down at the bottom of the list was like adoptive parent number 9. And that was me. I was adoptive parent or adoptive couple number 9, right? I had my stage wife. Adoptive parent number 9 was my part. After weeks and months and hours of investing my life into this part, I don't even make like the regular roster. I get the fake part. And here is my role. At the very end, when everybody's getting adopted, I would walk across the back of the stage. They wouldn't even let me walk across the front of it, right? That went to the actors singing their closing song. That went to the supports that were singing and dancing and all of the props. I started on the left side of the screen, and I just slowly walked across to the right side. And the way our grade school was set up, literally like our queue, we got up out of our seat. We were sitting off to the side so the audience could watch. We walked down in front of the audience. We walked up the left side of the stage, walked across the stage, walked down the right side of the stage, right back into our bleachers. Literally, my part from the time I stood up in the bleachers to the time I sat down was maybe 60 seconds. Stand up, walk, stairs, walk, stairs, sit down. Weeks, months, hours of practicing came down to 60 seconds of a made-up part in a play in fifth grade. Now, what's the failure? How did that shape me? Well, I invested hours and hours and hours into studying that play. I worked hard trying to nail those pieces. I invested everything that I could, and it still was not good enough. Not only was it just like not good enough for the main part, it wasn't even good enough for the backup or the backup's backup or the backup's, like, I wasn't even like alternate number 4 in case the lead got injured or hurt. I was adoptive parent number 9. And I, from that moment, let that failure affect me for years, which is really the real failure. That one moment, that one, I just didn't get the lead part, affected me for years, for decades, if I'm honest. That pivotal moment in my life became, Justin, you're not good enough. I let that one singular moment affect who I was well into adulthood. There was this single moment where I tried something, it didn't work, and instead of just moving on, I let that capture not just a portion of my mind, but all of my mind, and really affect my personality. The narrative in my life from that moment began to change. Justin, you're not good enough. Why try? Justin, it doesn't matter. Someone else will get the praise. Justin, don't put 100% effort into it. You're not good enough anyway. And I let that become the overriding story that I told myself internally for years. It doesn't matter that after that I got good grades. It doesn't matter that after that I actually got really good grades. It doesn't matter that after that I made the first team band as a freshman, which people don't do. It doesn't matter that after that I made the varsity wrestling squad. It doesn't matter that after that I earned letters and recognitions and state awards. None of that mattered to me because I always told myself that the real answer to the question about where I'm going in life is, it doesn't matter, you're not good enough. I was so set on a particular goal, on an outcome, on a focus, on something that I desired, that when it didn't come into plan exactly like I had pictured it in my head, I let it derail years and decades of my life. That trapped my mindset into a fixed mindset for the better part of 2 decades. So fifth grade, what are you, 10? Till I was 20, 25, I let that become my overriding narrative. Now, fixed mindset is the real danger. That's the real failure. Fixed mindset says, whatever you know, whatever your skills are, that's your cap. The way you are right now is all you'll ever be. And that, let me tell you, is the biggest lie that you can believe. In contrast to that, practice the growth mindset. I don't know this skill, but if I try hard enough, I can learn it. We have that sort of internal narrative all the time. How many times have you told somebody, your parent, your kid comes home with homework, how many times have they said, Dad, Mom, can you help me with my math? And you're like, nope, I'm not good at math. That is the subtle way the fixed mindset creeps into our everyday life and existence. It's not that you're not good at math, it's that you haven't practiced long enough to be good. You can be good, right? One says, the fixed mindset says, you aren't good at math and you never will be. You're not capable of being good at math. The growth mindset says, I may not be where I want to be, but with enough practice, I certainly can be. That's the subtle difference. Do we view failure as definitive proof on who you are and the limits of your capability, or as a relearning, retooling launchpad to greater future success? Does your setback mean you have maxed out your potential, or does it mean you need to rethink and tackle the problem in a new way? I allowed this fifth grade experience to mean that I had reached my potential. And for years, I would even tell people, they're like, well, why don't you draw? Why don't you act? Why don't you do any of these things? Oh, I can't. I'm not good. Can I tell you something that I found out as an adult? First of all, I mean, that's not true, right? We've covered that. Second of all, the guy that I lost to, the person that won the lead role, he is a paid professional actor in Hollywood today. I have seen him on a TV show. I didn't lose out to just anybody. I lost out to a world famous actor. Maybe not world famous. But I lost out to somebody who was good enough to make it a profession. Maybe he's working on getting to be world famous. I don't know his objectives, right? Maybe he's happy where he's at. I don't know. The point is, I lost to somebody who ended up acting for a living, to somebody who has trained for this professionally. You see, my hours were drops in the bucket compared to his whole life orientation towards acting, even at that young age. That wasn't his first play he had acted in. He was involved in children's theater long before the fifth grade. So I step into fifth grade like, I'm going to nail this part. And he's like, bro, I've been doing this for years. Step back. I didn't know that. I didn't account for that. I didn't expect it. I didn't anticipate that. But I did allow that to dictate the story that I told about myself. What are those stuck stories you tell yourself? You see, those stuck stories are really powerful as we unpack them in the coaching context. Something has happened to you that has told you where you have reached your limit and you have refused to push beyond that. Maybe it was a parent telling you you're not good enough or fast enough or pretty enough. Maybe it was a coach enough questioning your ability or your commitment. Maybe it was a teacher speaking down to you, man, you're just so dumb. Why don't you get this? Your brother got this. Your sister got this. I taught your mom got this. Why don't you get it? See, whatever it is, we all have our own versions of that stuck story that have framed the way we think about ourselves. And the reason you need to fix your mindset is because none of those are actually true. One of the fundamental foundational things we unpack in coaching, and I love teaching this to not just my clients, but my kids, fear is a liar. I tried something, I failed. I'm scared to try again. Yeah, well, guess what? You're allowed to be afraid, but you're not allowed to listen to that voice because fear is a liar. Well, but you don't know how hard it is. You're right, I don't. You still don't get to listen to it. That's your version of hard, and you need to learn how to push through, accept those challenges, and rise to the occasion. When fear happens, you can shrink back, you can play small, you can limit yourself, you can listen to the lies, or you can choose to reframe that as an opportunity to learn, to unpack, and to get better. Now, how did I fix that? Well, first of all, lots of therapy and coaching. Don't underestimate the power of getting good help. Second, having solid community in your life that actually speaks the truth. Justin, you actually were, like, the stuff that you do on stage, the speaking that you do, the engagements that you have, that's just like a different form of acting, right? You're presenting a persona, and I'm not being dishonest, and I'm not trying to put on a personality that's not mine, but I certainly amp it up to be on stage. That's a form of it. How can you tap into that and understand characters and stories and plots better? Third, new experiences. And I wish this is one I would have figured out a whole lot earlier in my life. I let that fifth grade experience define me for years. And I ignored all of the new experiences and all of the counter arguments and all of the counter logic to that one pivotal moment. And I allowed myself to believe that I would never be good enough. But those new experiences suddenly showed me, hey, look at this new problem I just tackled. You want to see this at a most basic, fundamental level? If you're a parent, you get this. You've seen it. You have a kid. You're teaching them to walk. How many of us, confident in our kid that first time we want them to walk, have set them down, released them, hopeful that they take a first step, and they just, like, splat onto the ground? In that moment, you as their parent have a choice. Well, you tried to walk and you failed. Walking clearly isn't for you, and you just spend the rest of the time holding them. Is that what we do? Not at all. We pick them up, we brush the dirt off their face, and we make them try it again. We don't limit anybody else's potential in our life to one failure, but we do it to ourselves. We ignore the new experiences. We ignore all of the new skills that we have learned along the way that prove that point false. We instead choose to listen to that one stuck story and define our narrative by that. Seek out those new experiences and look at all of the things you have learned along the way already. Fourth, I realize this isn't a fatalistic viewpoint. So I failed in the fifth grade. Do you know how many people in my life care that I wasn't the lead actor at the play at the end of the fifth grade year at Bueller Grade School? Zero, right? I'm sure if my parents were to hear this story, they're like, I don't even remember that. No one cares about my failure. So for me, I allowed this thing to become devastating and worldview shaping. No one else cares. So stop taking the fatalistic view. Pick yourself up, move on. And finally, related to that, gaining some perspective. I love practicing gratitude. I'm thankful for this experience because of what it taught me. I'm thankful more so that I was finally able to break free. Even if it took longer than maybe it should have, I'm thankful I broke free of that negative mindset. So, what are your stuck stories that you tell yourself? This morning, I mentioned it all was tying together. And I come in into the house after my first client session this morning, and my oldest daughter, in tears at the table, she's doing math, she's messing up, she's getting it wrong. My wife is over there helping her. And I just said, hey, are we over there failing? And she looks at me and goes, yeah. And I, yes! And I cheered her on, it's good to fail! Congratulations, it means you're learning something. But Dad, it doesn't feel good to fail. I know, I'm not saying it has to feel good. I'm not saying you have to pretend to like it. I'm not saying you have to enjoy it. I'm not saying to make it feel good. Pain hurts. And failure is pain. Failure is painful. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That's how we learn. That's how we overcome. So stop for a second, reframe your thinking, and figure out what you're doing wrong in the problem. Sure enough, she and my wife sit down, tackle through it, boom, nailed the problem, got it right. Saw where we made the mistake, and rather than trying to continue to ram through the same wrong mindset, the same wrong belief, the same wrong practice, we reframed, re-attacked, re-engaged, and overcame. And the same is true of you, whether it's a play in the fifth grade, whether it's a math problem, whether it's something you're facing at work currently, today, whatever it is, whatever your stuck story is, reframe it. What is actually the opportunity that's before you? What do you need to try differently? What can you learn? And where can you overcome? Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Mission Critical Leadership Podcast. I'm Justin. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave us a review, comment down below. However it is that you are catching this episode, give us the feedback, leave a question so we can answer it on an upcoming episode, and we'll see you next time.